Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 252, episode 1 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Monday, August 29th, 2022. I know what that means. Miles, do you know what that means?
You know what? You actually caught me. Will you mind telling me? I don't know.
Oh, today. You son of a bitch.
I do. It's National Lemon Juice Day, yes. And according to Hoyle Day... What the fuck does that mean?
That sounds like some shit that people forgot about at least a generation ago.
To honor the rules and regulations of particular situations, also pay tribute to a man by the name of Edmund Hoyle, an Englishman who is thought to be the first technical writer on card games.
Yeah, I was going to say cards.
Nah, bro. You see? Oh, because aren't there playing cards known? Like Hoyle?
Like Hoyle. Cards? Yeah, I've seen that on the back of a card, of a deck of cards before.
You know that when people started talking about like board games and card games, I hate rules. So like hearing about like respecting the rules of a board game gives me a lot of anxiety. I don't know if you saw that meme on Twitter. You know, there's that photo, that picture from the new Stranger Things season. That's Will, like, and he's secretly like crying to himself in the van. Have you seen that picture? He's like, well, a lot of people use it for different shit. One person was like, me, the second somebody starts explaining the rules of a card game to me, and I identify with that. So. Yeah, look, observe the rules or don't on Hoyle Day. That's
I'm good with like the three card games that I know. That's plenty.
Well, War is one of them.
War, Go Fish, and Gin Rummy, Knock Gin. Like those are, and then Hearts, and then I guess I know War.
Yeah,
I haven't played High Stakes War in a while, so maybe I need to bring that back.
Oh yeah, for the kids,
Yeah, part of kids. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka. Cold cans of Mountain Dew, drink Baja Blast, baby, till I piss blue. That is courtesy of my plane flight from Dallas this morning and just not having shit to do. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles Shroom God!
What is the secret to your power? Miles from God, won't you take us far away from the Trumpy Trump?
Okay, shout out to Tenacious D. Shout out Mushroom. Shout out Psilocybin. Shout out Just Prolt on the Discord for that one. Mm. Forgot about that album.
Yeah. Are you Mushroom God? Like you're microdosing? What's the?
I don't. I mean, they may have remembered a past episode. One time, I freaked the shit out of Colin Hanks at Sketchfest in San Francisco because I was wearing like a big throw blanket on me at a party, like, and everybody was dressed up and they're like, "Hey, what's your name?" And I was like, "I'm the Shroom God," and he was like, "Okay, nice to meet you," because I was having a good time.
And but Colin Hanks wasn't ready for that.
Colin Hanks. He's a good man. He was not ready for that, I don't think. He was just kind of like, okay, thank you. And then quickly moved on to other people with less dilated people.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by a hilarious stand-up comedian who is one of our favorite guests and is rejoining us after a long absence, too long, way too long. You need to go subscribe to his YouTube show, The Gay Power Half Hour. It's Casey Lai!
Casey!
What's up, Casey?
Hello, everyone. I don't have a screaming song to share, but it is great to be back here.
Good to
nice
see
to
you.
See you guys.
It's great to see you. Yeah. Are you in LA these days still?
Yeah, I'm still in LA, hunkered down. I took a moment during the pandemic. I went up to San Francisco for like 6 months because I was living with a couple of comics down here who I liked, but I decided I didn't want to die with, you know, in the pandemic. So I went up and hung out with some
family
for a bit.
Make those difficult
decisions.
But
I'm back. Yeah. Nice. Yeah. But yeah, it's good, you know, simmering in the heat a bit. But yeah.
Basting.
You know, I love it flaming.
Exactly. It's nice.
It's good to be back in LA, man. I just flew back from Dallas this morning, and I was talking to super producer Becca, who's from Texas, about the crickets are taking over the state of Texas. It's fucking...
Really?
Yeah. Crickets, like the...
Like places they shouldn't be, like a concrete parking structure.
Oh yes, like like all over the sidewalk, like they're dry leaves in the fall, like in another place, you know, right. Just falling off the walls of buildings, like onto my shoulder.
Oh,
it was wild.
I would rather the crickets be in charge of Texas, though, than you know, the current people in power.
I think let them take over, Dallas.
And you said crickets
bigger
have
brains,
a scent?
Bigger brains.
Yeah. They got an odor, too, the crickets?
That's what Becca was saying. I did not notice the odor, but I also didn't know to be looking out for an odor. I was saying, though, that I had, like, a summer of beetles that, like, took over the town of Dayton that I lived in, like, when I was... I think it was like when I was 12 or so, and I still remember the smell. She was saying that like it's one of those smells you can't get out of your head, the smell of like all the dead crickets. And
right.
Yeah, I remember that from the Beatles. There's just like something very, I don't know, unlike I'd smelled up to that point and unlike I've smelled since.
Well, to Casey's point, then if we're going to have stinky pieces of shit run the state, then it might as well be the crickets.
Right?
So, yeah.
There you go.
Long live.
Yeah. Stinks already.
Stinks already.
Can you imagine? I can see how it's a compounding problem. A bunch of decomposing bug carcasses in the heat.
Yeah.
It just sounds like a...
Is this an annual thing or is it just another, you know, onslaught of modern times?
I think we were trying to figure that out if it was like worse because they just had some flooding down there. So maybe they like came up out of the ground because it was like saturated. But it seemed like, you know, everybody who we talked to who was from there or from anywhere in Texas was like, yeah, no, this is pretty standard. It's weird and like a thing nobody talks about, but you just have to like kick your shoes every couple seconds or else
the
crickets will start crawling up your pant leg.
Someone tried to feed me cricket chips the other day, mm-hmm. and I got really angry about it, but I guess, you know, and those are chips that are made of fucking crickets,
yeah.
And I don't like that, I don't like where that future is heading,
yeah.
Like, you know,
because
they're like, oh, well, this is how we make the chips, we scoop them off of the ground in Texas and put them in a bag.
right.
That is a chip harvest. Theory I've heard is that the reason we like crunchy chip-like things is because when we were evolving, like, we ate so many bugs. Like, bugs was a staple part of our diet.
Right.
And so, like, we evolved to really like that, like, crispy crunchiness. And now, because we're, like, anti-eating bugs, we have to create, like, artificial crispy crunchies.
Which is wild, because they're, like, also being, like, it may be the key to helping, like, may have a sustainable food future, too. It's, like, yeah, having that in the food mix. So I'm like, all right.
All right, so eat your bugs and shut up about it.
Eat your bugs and shut up, Texas.
Eat your bugs and say your fucking prayers,
America. You're
going to
eat your way out of this problem, Texas. Very protein rich, apparently.
Mm.
All right, Casey, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about whether the Republicans are, like, how do they respond to a fatal flaw? It feels like they're experiencing a fatal flaw with their ideals. Mm. Like, suddenly, you know, they got what they said they wanted for the past fucking 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
And the fact that it is inhumane treatment of human beings is not popular. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about McDonald's play places, all of that, plenty more. But first, Casey, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Well, you know, I am, I don't want to brag, but I'm going to Europe in a couple of days.
Wow.
Okay.
I know it's not Texas, but it's going to be.
I'm going to Paris, but yeah, not the one in Texas.
Dallas is the Paris of that part of Texas.
Sure. Paris would be very angry to hear you say that, I am sure. But I'll let them know that we are discussing them and they won't care because they're Paris. But I'm going to, I'm actually not going there. I'm going to Spain and England and Portugal. No big deal.
Amazing. Okay.
And so I was, I've been researching places to go, and I wasn't sure where I had a couple extra days at the end, and I was trying to figure out where to go. And so I was just kind of like browsing, and I found the Hadrianic city of Italica, which is Roman ruins north of Sevilla. And Hadrian, I don't know if you guys know this, and to your listeners, I'm a homosexual, so this is going to get gay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. He was the gayest of all the Roman emperors, and that's where he was born. And he was the one to really have, like, a true like husband. I don't know what they call them that in Greek Roman times. But I'm fascinated with this guy because he was like, he was in charge of the world, and he was like, I'm going to be married to this woman because you make me, but I'm also going to raise my lover to the level of a god. He named cities after him. Antinous was his concubine or lover or husband. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what the word is. So he is like, if you go to the Louvre, which I've been to because I, you know, go to Paris,
right, obviously, culture, naturally,
he is like the most represented Roman figure outside of like Caesar. And it's just because he was the hottest guy in all of the world at the time. And so I'm obsessed with Hadrian as a result of this. So if you want to get a little, if this is to get to know me, is to know I love hot guys from the past. So I'm going on an international search for them.
Yeah.
Insane.
Amazing. Well,
I also just like that, just because, like, Hadrian was like, man, I love this motherfucker. That's also why he's like, so, like, Antinous is so represented. He's like, no, yeah, another one for him too, right there. Three.
And well, Antinous died. He drowned in the Nile, and it's unclear. It's possible that Hadrian's wife drowned him. He also just might have tripped and fell. Who knows? They were partying a lot back then. Right. And Hadrian was so gripped with grief that where he died, he created the city of Antinoopolis or something. And then that's why he raised him to the level of a god, and that's why he was so represented. And he was so attractive that everyone was like, we're going to need more of those pictures of that. Of that hot babe. And it's just it's something that I love.
And that's when people started painting portraits, was just to get better pictures of how hot this dude was.
Early porn, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
there
basically.
You go.
Oh, yeah.
Porn,
he had that good hair, too.
Oh, yeah. You're looking at him, looking him up? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he looks like, you know, a lot of times you look at classical busts and you're like, man, this Aristotle's busted as fuck. You know, right. You know, like, he's always like, man, David.
Well,
all right,
they
sure
had different standards of beauty.
I know, but even now,
like
I'm looking at this bust. I'm like, yo, yeah, Antinous could get it.
Yeah.
He's
so
got,
this
like,
day.
Yeah, he got good features.
Yeah, he's just like a full-on babe. And you know, so hoping to find my Antinous somewhere.
Oh my God. Have you seen this picture of someone being like, what would he look like now?
No.
Oh, I'm putting this in the chat, Casey, just so you can see it, because he looks like some TikTok influencer.
That is super funny.
Check that out.
Yeah.
Was that like,
that's so
I
funny.
Just accepted when I was young, like, oh, well, paintings, like nude paintings were, you know, that was just classic art and their being. But like at the time, were they like, yo, this is hot?
There are some like people, some like kings and like high ranking church figures from the past who would have artists put like a mini, you know, like they would paint murals on the roof of their ceilings, and some of them were like super erotic, you know, like the Sistine Chapel is just like naked people and and you know, ripped. Michelangelo was all about just like the ripped human form. And so it's absolutely like going from, we don't think about it this way, but like imagine walking into the Sistine Chapel and you've never, like all you ever seen is you're just like your naked husband's fucking like a farmer body, you know? Yeah. Pretty tight, dirty pretty body. Tight, you know, but dirty.
Right. And his leather skull cap.
Yeah. And all of a sudden you're just like people would just like faint and explode and just come. Yeah. I think they would just instantly like, come.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And just that's had
a
ecstasy.
Mop and a bucket at the entrance.
That's yeah, everyone's like, hey ecstasy. Man, you going to the chapel again? You're like, yeah, man, I went 3 times last night.
This computer, this computer generated Antinous is a beautiful human, but also it feels like they went and they made some choices. Like the bust's hair looks better. And also I think his eyes, they like didn't do his, I don't know.
Oh, wow. You're like the eyes are hotter in the statue than the artist rendering?
Well, like I think they just like made some choices. But I mean, they did a good job, though. I'm not complaining. I'm just like, I feel like I was expecting otherworldly, like screen melting beauty, but based on the tales, but you know,
I agree. He looks just like, I mean, he does. He looks like a TikTok. He looks like and Antinous was from Turkey, so, and this guy does. He looks like a Turkish Sam Mendes that they're doing right now. I'm here for it.
Yeah,
I'm
here. No, he's definitely cute. What is what's something you think is overrated?
So this is going to be in line with my trip to Europe, because I'm never going to shut up about it.
Okay, love Jesus, that. Love that for you. Love that for us.
I went last year to Europe. Oh, I went with my boss, and he paid for everything, which is a nice way to go.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
And this time I'm...
you hear that, Jack?
And this time I'm paying mostly by myself. And because my boss is also a homosexual, a lot of people were like, oh, your boss is taking you to Europe and he's paying for it. You must be having sex with your boss. And I'm not. I think he respects me for my mind. I hope.
There you go.
And I'm a good time. But I, when realizing and paying for this trip on my own, that if someone wanted to take me to Europe for free and the stipulation was I had to have sex with them, I would do it. And I think
based on the amount that you're spending. Yeah,
I think what is overrated is shaming people for having sex for goods and services like tickets to Europe. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that is an overrated thing. Too many people are shameful or direct shame at those who barter with their body.
Yeah.
And I think we need to cut that shit out.
Something everybody has done since the beginning of time, but it's just you're not allowed to do it out loud. Right?
Seriously.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that when it gets weird is when the person who is offering the free stuff begins to take that relationship dynamic to a place. You're like, well, I now control you. It's like, no. We're bartering, actually.
Yeah, 100%. You can have, like, we'll make a list. It's like, you know, how nice of a dinner are we going to have, you know?
Right.
Basically, I am just saying I want to be a prostitute, and I think that we just should not be shaming people for it.
So where did you go? Where'd you go with your boss?
We went to Paris and then Corsica. Help him develop ideas, and he had an idea that was set in Corsica, and it might have been an excuse to go to go to Corsica. He's also kind of learning French, so he wanted to go. And it was right before Delta hit, the Delta variant. So we're talking, you know, I mean, several variants ago.
Yeah.
And it was right when the EU had opened back up. And so, and he normally travels with various people, but none of them wanted to go. So he was just like, do you just want to go? And I was like, well, I can't afford to go at your level. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay.
He's like, just show up. Show up to the airport.
Okay. So it's very nice. And we have, you know, we have a very professional and fun relationship. And it was great. And let me tell you, my first time going to Paris, and was my boss the ideal person to go to the most romantic city and beautiful city in the world? No.
I know.
But again, he paid for everything. So he was the perfect person.
Absolutely.
To go to Europe for the first time.
Now you can set a baseline for your own rates.
All the European stuff sounds nice. I will have you know there's something in Dallas called the Reunion Tower, which is like it's a bunch of lights on a stick, basically. It's like a big round thing of lights at the top. Mm-hmm. And on Valentine's Day, it has like hearts, and it's pretty cool. It's like a big mega, what are those screens called at sporting events?
Jumbotron.
It's like a big Jumbotron in the middle of the city.
It's quite phallic.
It's kind of cultured. I don't know.
God, this guy never shuts up about Texas. Jesus.
Yeah.
What's something you think is underrated?
You know, we were kind of joking about Paul Pelosi pre-show. And I got to tell you, I think old people are underrated. This guy knows how to party. You know,
fuck,
he didn't get away with it. But, you know, wine drunk, just, you know, what do you call the husband of the Speaker of the House? The first,
just call him Paul Pelosi, man. We get it. The name,
Pelosi.
Just rings through. Yeah.
Big but, Paulie. You know, and like, and I'm not going to want to get too neoliberal, but, you know, like Biden's having a good run, you know, things. And everyone's like, everyone can't shut up about how old he just canceled student debt for everyone. And all my friends were talking about was how old and tired he looked in the speech he gave. And I was like, okay, sorry that you got free stuff and you don't like from this old guy and you can't handle it and you don't want it because he doesn't look good, you know, doesn't speak. We were very, look, love Obama, did a great job for us, really had our interests in mind. But the problem was he was too good. He spoke too good. He looked too good, you know, and then we had 4 years of just fucking utter trash. And we expected whatever was going to come after that to be perfect again. And it wasn't. It's just this old white dude who doesn't speak that good, but apparently is giving us some stuff that we needed. Okay. If he gets that Iran deal done, I'm going to start talking about him as a good president. I might even vote for him again.
I might even vote this time. Yeah.
Definitely a new context listening to him up there, like missing some words. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. I'm good with that. Like he's talking about having actually done something. It really is like when you're missing words and you're also like not doing stuff that like it seems like you should be doing, then it's a little unnerving. But when you're like skipping words or like combining words, and you know, I do that shit all the time.
Dude, my man, Biden, just cancel all the fucking debt, right? Because we're talking equity, right? It means everybody's equal. That means everybody's debt should be canceled at the same level. Don't leave people hanging with our stuff. And I get it. That a lot of it is very helpful. Like, and most people, a lot of people did actually get a lot of their debt wiped out. Part of me is like, man, if you do all that, you could speak as fucked up as you want. Like, you don't have to fucking show up. You could go out there on fucking Molly peeking, like, just taking deep breaths up there. I'm like, yeah, man, whatever, man. Just let him fucking cook.
We're just like not on Adderall. There's a thing that happens where he, like, his energy, like, goes in, like, waves, like, from sentence to sentence in a way. I don't know. It might just be, like, some internal meter that's telling him, like, oh, they told you to just stop shouting, like, everything. And then he, like, starts whispering. And it seems like he's falling asleep after he was just like,
bro,
amped.
It's the Molly, bro. It comes in waves.
Seriously. Another underrated, it's not enough of our leaders are doing Molly, you know? Not
enough psychedelics. People,
you know?
Honestly, I've been
Molly's
saying this.
So underrated.
You should, to get into Congress, you have to trip balls.
Have done psychedelics. Yeah. I think
you have to trip balls to get in there, and you need to have a moment where you can just be like, go outside of yourself, let your ego break, have a new perspective on how big or small you are in this universe, then start legislating.
I don't think it would be terrorism to dose the punch at a congressional party or something like that.
Oh,
you know,
no.
Because it's like, you got it, like, because then all the fuck, you know, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, she might jump off. She might do something to herself that would be beneficial to the country.
Which is remove yourself from office.
Of way.
Yes, exactly.
Because the demons are deep, you know, with a lot of people on that side.
Yeah.
And our side, demons are real on all sides.
Oh, yeah. All demons.
Poo-poo demons. They're very strong. But hallucinogenics made me the non-congressional, fun-loving, European traveling person I am today.
So. Yeah. That, like, the way that the Olympics tests for various drugs, and I feel like we should be doing that with things like amphetamines. We've already seen that those are bad for leadership and lead you down a dark path with the Nazis. So maybe not that. Maybe they shouldn't be allowed to do that and be president at the same time.
Yeah.
Let them talk to the Mushroom King.
Yeah. Right.
Talk to the shroom god.
Thank you.
Man, I would be Joe Biden's shroom czar.
Right.
I like that.
Just a little tea, Joe. Yeah, and then just sit there next to the fire and have a think for 24 hours on the.
Just I'm like Joe, don't say anything. Let's just look at each other for the next 20 minutes. Just, let's look at each other, fam. Let's see where this goes.
Yeah,
but it's wild. It's funny too, because even though we joke about this, it's every fucking week there's a new thing about the benefits of psychedelics, psychedelic research. The study just came out about psilocybin and treating alcoholism. And how that could be a very potent combination to help people. And we're like, God damn it, man. There's so many answers fucking right in front of us.
And not just in front of us, literally grown out of the earth. And we're racing to destroy everything on earth and all the problems literally on earth. And I will say about Biden, I don't even know. I don't think what hallucinogenics do is teach you empathy. They do. They that's a big part of it. Biden does have empathy. So I'm not sure he's an 80 year old man needs to start tripping for the first time. But
although they say it's very good for end of life.
Oh yeah,
he's 100%. Not that. He's not gonna die.
Okay,
two more years. We need two more years.
No, he looked great. He looked great. I've never seen skin such a healthy gray tone like that.
It is impressive. Imagine, I can't get out of bed every day. I'm 79. You got to get up every day early. Go to, got to be woken up.
I feel like for how old Joe Biden is and having to work, that's us being hungover as shit and having to go to work and pretend you're not hungover.
I went out last night. I almost canceled on this podcast. I was out till 11:30.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the other side of the aisle and their branding problems.
They're demons.
Oh, shit. It turns out we're demons and people don't like that.
Enjoy all your favorite sports never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
And we're back. And Miles, you wrote this up. GOP having trouble, aligning, figuring out the branding around being inhumane monsters.
Yeah, it's this one thing. It's this one thing that got me thinking. That Pat Ryan result, and then this other guy in Arizona, completely rebranding himself. So the Dobbs decision has obviously injected a ton of energy into the country, obviously for the saddest fucking reasons, because y'all don't have no rights and we might have to do this legislatively. But people are starting to they're registering to vote in increased numbers. The Democrats are thanking the heavens because they've found a way to passively potentially survive the midterms by never standing up to protect abortion rights. But now being no, we'll do something now. But you got to vote for us. It's bittersweet, I guess. But last week we saw Pat Ryan, who's a Democrat, win in a very swingy district, went for Obama in 12, went for Trump in 16, went for Biden in 20. And he won by 2 points. And he made a conscious decision, I need to speak more forcefully about abortion rights, while his opponent, this Republican, avoided the conversation and basically just leaned into crime wave and inflation. And the guy lost. We also saw Kansans come out en masse to defeat a constitutional amendment to also keep their rights. So, the post-Dobbs lack of enthusiasm from the GOP is also just showing in how they're underperforming, too, in primary races. So when you look all that and you're there's clearly the existential threat of losing healthcare rights or healthcare access is motivating people. And the Republicans are figure this thing out. And the most just obvious bit has been this guy Blake Masters, who's running in Arizona. He's running to unseat Mark Kelly in the U.S. Senate, and he literally went overnight from being I'm 100% pro-life to scrubbing his fucking website to look less extreme. I'll point out some of the things that he had said previously and things that were gone. So before, he had a statement that said the abortion section of his website said, quote, I am 100% pro-life. Roe v. Wade was a horrible decision. It was wrong the day it was decided in 1973. It's wrong today and it must be reversed. Today it reads, the Democrats lie about my views on abortion. That's the first thing you're going to read on his website when you go to read about abortion. Prior things that he said was, support a federal personhood law, ideally a constitutional amendment that recognizes that unborn babies are human beings that may not be killed. Vote. And then he also said, I will vote only for federal judges who understand that Roe and Casey were wrongly decided and that there is no constitutional right to abortion. Those things have fucking vamoosed completely. And he even put out an ad where he's trying to be they're trying to say I'm extreme. I'm not. I play with Star Wars toys with my sons, which is what the ad was. And he was just trying to be I'm not so extreme that I think anybody should get an abortion whenever. I use common sense, which is not ignoring someone's body autonomy. And just watching that, like, transparent, like, switch up is just very unsettling. I'm surprised I even had a reaction to it, because that's exactly what these, like, creature, like, these are political creatures who are always triangulating, and they're like, look, nope, that's not good. Okay, erase that part of who they think I am, but I'll stealthily keep pursuing this shit. But it seems like obviously some people are beginning to figure out that there are billions of dollars pouring in to strip away our rights, and they're responding. But it is it is an interesting moment to kind of watch them try and recalibrate to be like, oh, we can't be so outwardly fucking backwards, but we do also want to be backwards deep down.
I think there's always that hope that they're having that moment, like that Mitchell and Webb sketch where it's two Nazis.
Oh yeah,
and they're like, "Hey, have you like looked at our hats lately? Like, why the skulls? Are we like the bad guys? I guess, right?
Are
like,
we the baddies?
Oh shit, we're the baddies. That's not good. Like, I'm always assuming the Republicans are having that moment. Well, we're about to. I'm constantly disappointed."
Little known fact about that Blake Masters commercial where he's playing with Star Wars characters with his kids. He was actually playing with stormtroopers, teaching his kids how to put rebel women into servitude. So,
right. I mean, he was holding a TIE fighter. So it was like, you are clearly like, and I'm the Empire, just so you know. Right.
I mean, on the one hand, I do think, a lot of the rank and file believe their own bullshit because they're just, their brains are wrong, and they've just been like, they've got, you know, I don't want to get too deep into it, but I just think that the problem for them is they elevated extremists, and then the extremists took over, and Hitler, it's easy to make Nazi comparisons, but like, it's the same thing. The conservatives in Germany were like, we can deal with these crazy people, we just need them to energize our base, and then all of a sudden they took over, and that's what you have. And here in America, we luckily have a majority of people, as the voting keeps shows us, not wanting this shit. And I think finally, like, there is just, you know, in Kansas is an interesting state, because a couple, like 10 some odd years ago, whenever Sam Brownback was the governor, they put in the most conservative agenda of any state that had, you know, in since the 20s. And it was just like no regulation, a lot of conservative Christian stuff. And the state fucking fell apart. And that there are state level Democrats in Kansas because of how badly the conservatives fucked it up.
Just, and I all think deregulation, all like cutting budgets.
It doesn't work. Crazy. You know, government is scary. Sure. I read a book one time too that said that, but also like in the real world, it fucking works. You know, did you see that anarchist documentary on HBO?
No, I didn't see it. God. Is it good?
I heard about
it.
I finished it and I was just like, I hate every single one of these people, and not in like a fun way. Like, right. I'm not sure I liked it, but I still like couldn't stop watching it. And it's just a mess, you know, like, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sometimes, you know what you do when, you know, people are getting murdered and like someone in your community is fucking everything up. You kind of need to have some authority figure who can come in and like stop that, or else it's going to be pure anarchy, motherfucker.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking people don't see what the future holds if like crazy people are in charge. Well, we, you know, don't want it. But
I mean, there was that viral video of that South Carolina state representative, this guy Neil Collins, I think, who, I don't know if you saw him, he was like very emotional. He's saying like, I voted for this bill, and like, I'm getting calls from doctors talking about like their women who's like, they're actually at risk now, like, because of this fetal heartbeat stuff.
What?
And he's like having this like realization. He's like, this is a quote, the doctor told me she's going to pass this fetus in the toilet. She's going to have to deal with that on her own. There's a greater than 50% chance that she's going to could lose her life, develop sepsis herself, and pass away. He's like, that weighs on me. I voted for that bill. These are affecting people. And you're like, motherfucker, what the?
What did this shit you get out into government for?
And it's funny because I think this is a kind of person, right? Who is a Republican, which is, I don't know, man, if I say these magic words, like the donations come in and I get there, I am kind of a person, but I'm also a little bit into the idea of being the most popular local guy where I live. So this helps me get into state office. I vote with my team or whatever. you know, sure, I can, people are belly aching about this and that. But then when confronted with the real results of it, it seems, unless he's a total sociopath, that he was like, ugh, that this actually feels fucked up. He ended up not voting for another bill that was going to nearly outlaw all abortions. Now, I don't know if he's gonna have a change of heart, but that is kind of one of those moments you're like, damn, like y'all fucking late to the humanity party.
Right.
I was listening to something recently about, they're called the new abolitionists, and they're the people who want to have the most extreme abortion laws, which involves punishing the women, involves punishing the women for murder. And if in a certain state, murder is punished by death, then they're pro women being killed for having an abortion by the state. And, you know, that's the most extreme. But in Louisiana, it got, it was the one state, because it was so extreme, even Republican, even super anti-choice people think that these people are wackos. But in Louisiana, it got to a vote. It got defeated by big numbers. But like, that's what the thing about Dobbs is like, it shows you that like, these things that were words and ideas are now fact. And this fucking Republican guy who's like having an all of a sudden, not a change of heart, but at least he's seeing the reality. That's the problem. That's the problem with, you know, their ideals, is that the reality is that it truly affects people. And, you know, and it sucks for the country that like people are going to have to go through that. But like,
right.
I think, you know, the nice thing about America, it does have a tendency to swing back and forth, you know, not enough to the other side a lot of the time, but it does, like, there's a comeuppance to all of this fucking rhetoric and now just like abusive laws. So,
right. And it's hard to know, right? Like the future, like to your point, these like abortion abolitionist people, they're out here telegraphing the world what they want, the future that they want too. Right. And there's so many people, whether they're even running for office, they're out loud saying shit what they think the world is. And maybe like laugh it off. Be like, no, that's what they're motivated by.
That's the thing that scares me too. It's like, you know, the crazies won in the on the Republican side and got rid of the establishment. And now the establishment is Trump and the crazies. But there are people crazier than that who are like nipping at their heels, forcing, you know, wanting more. And we've seen that on that side, they just always kowtow to like the most mobile and the most vociferous. And those are always the ones who are just like toting guns and marching and trying to like, you know.
Yeah.
To your point about this being how it happened with the Nazis, like the Nazis like didn't have a lot of popular support for a long time. Like they were like getting in like the teens and shit and the 20s and then like eventually got to where they could take power. But like it's still scary as fuck how much power they've kind of consolidated.
Oh yeah. I mean, you have to take it serious. It's like looking through your like peephole in your door and you're like, yo, there's a bunch of fucking wild ass people out there. It's like, yeah, they're trying to get in, just so you know. And people are like, should we invest in the door to keep them out? They're like, nah, man, make the door weaker.
Right.
It's like, no, look through the fucking, that's who's trying to get in. It's not a fucking joke. Like that's what it is. And I think it kind of goes hand in hand. You know, when you talk about people like Amy Coney Barrett, she obviously comes from this like very bizarre Catholic conservative sect cult thing, People of Praise. And this video leaked recently of one of like the early members, founders, like partners, leaders, whatever you want to call this woman, talking, like, to hear how these people talk should really frighten you, because these are the people who they are getting onto the Supreme Court. Amy Coney Barrett grew up in this. She never tried a fucking case as a judge and is now in the Supreme Court. So on top of this, right, there is this leaked interaction from this People of Praise event where this woman who's been down with this group for a minute talks about the concept of headship. This is what they teach, this concept of headship, which is essentially that a fancy fucking word for women are not participants in their own fucking lives because men will do all the deciding. And in this clip, she's going to talk about how, oh, my God, these soft ass women who come to they were crying when we're telling them they got no rights. And this is how casually they speak about it. And this is the church or whatever. This is the worldview that Amy Coney Barrett is coming from. So just so you can hear how these people speak to each other behind closed doors to give you some perspective.
And suddenly we were having teachings on headship. and the roles of men and women and all sorts of things we hadn't counted on at all. And some of the women who are still in my women's group, as a matter of fact, would wear sunglasses all the time because they were always crying. Okay. and would have to hold on to their chairs every time somebody started teaching because what are we going to hear this time? But it all worked out just fine.
The guy who is interviewing her is doing like big stage laughs.
Yeah.
Like quiet, like silent, but like throwing his head back in laughter type shit.
I mean, you look again, there's a few people have written about this group, right? The way these people think, the people of praise, quote, were quietly taught by their heads and leaders not to change or rinse out diapers, and that women's emotions were, quote, distrusted. Pastoral problems were often addressed by asking a woman where she was in her menstrual cycle. Women played a, quote, decidedly secondary role to men, and a married woman was, quote, expected to always reflect the fact that she is under her husband's authority. This is a group of people who are pursuing more increased power, whose worldview is this, that there is such thing as a non-human. It's called a woman, right? And they are not going to have any autonomy at any level because that is not what we believe. And that is what, those are the kinds of policies that they are going to try and create more and more of. And this makes this, and obviously concepts like feminism or equality in any way are absolute anathema to these people because they can't rock in a world where a concept of equality exists.
And she's on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
It's like, so I heard she had wanted to write the abortion ruling, but Alito said she couldn't do it because she was a woman.
He said, yikes.
he said, you're here for the vote. We want your womb and your vote. Okay.
Right.
We don't want to hear you speak.
It's,
you know, I try, you know, I'm raised Catholic, not by any means in any sort of like hardcore world that these people are coming from. But it was oppressive as a gay boy, you know, I grew up thinking I was going to hell, and that put me in my place from a very early age, you know, and
right.
It took a while to get out of there. But like, you know, my family is great I try not to shit on belief systems, but when those belief systems then shit all over me and everyone that I know and everyone that I care about and gain power to the fact that we have to kowtow to them based on some bullshit, you know, like, I mean, like the Constitution is problematic and it was written 235 years ago. The Bible was written 2,000 years ago, you know, and like, and we're still like, that's the thing, you know, look at your phone. Okay. What does the Bible say about what's going on your fucking phone? Nothing, because there was no world in which it could even be fathomed. Like, let's try to fathom
some new
ideas.
But what I'm saying is, I believe Jesus would have backed cryptocurrencies if you really think about it.
100%. Like, he'd have been down there in Mexico with the other anarchists leading the charge.
Right. The things that are potentially on the horizon are truly fucking scary. And I think that's the thing. Like, as we live in this country, we're like constantly trying to think of like, okay, who is better to lead? What are these people doing over here? Why isn't anyone solving this bigger issue? And it's very chaotic.
The thing that's most concerning about it to me is that they mobilize better, and because they mobilize and plan for the long game better, in my opinion, that's why they're so effective, because they don't, like the majority of people, the vast majority of people don't want to be ruled in this way. But what they're good at, and because they've learned from childhood how to believe in a thing and do a fit, you know, like be a part of the team to follow the leader, like our side, you know, has a lot of competing interests. And I'm not criticizing that way. It's just that we don't fall in line in the same way. And so it is harder to coalesce together unless Trump, like, God bless Trump in this weird way, because he is this unifying figure for all of us, because we forget how bad the other side is really as a whole. And it's nice to have one figure to like coalesce our anger around. But I am concerned about, you know, the future
and the present
and
but
the
beyond
present.
Those, like, I think we're good.
Yeah.
But look, the future doesn't exist. I was just reading The Power of Now, you know.
Yeah,
it's just like our idea.
You just
of what's
need to
happen.
Imagine future with progressive politics. That's The Secret, I think, actually, not The Power of Now, but
yeah.
Also a bestseller. And I only read books that are bestsellers.
The Power of Now would be more like, hey, man, at least you don't have a boot on your fucking throat right now in this immediate moment, family. Right. And I'm like, that's true, actually. Worse. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so don't go down a spiral. But at the same time, I think it's like what I talk about in therapy. My therapist is like, look, do you think you're smart enough to know when it's going to get bad? I'm like, oh, hell yeah. They're like, then just cook until then, because you'll know. Don't stop giving all your energy to be like, well, what about?
In my therapy, I'm like, more boot, please.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about McDonald's. We'll talk about HBO Max. We'll talk about plenty of stuff.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider.
And we're back. And, you know, McDonald's play places may be going away for good for a number of reasons. The one that gets written about mostly in American mainstream media stories, because, you know, it's run by corporations in the corporate world. They're like, well, it's a branding thing. They make less business sense for McDonald's now because they're less a family institution. McDonald's is more for They're looking to be more like Apple stores, basically. And Apple stores don't have playgrounds. So like the idea of like McDonald's as a place to bring your family is no longer something they are seriously striving for. And the pandemic, obviously, probably the death blow for the McDonald's play place. But now it seems like there might be some other, even better reasons for these not to exist. Do you guys remember these? Like, are you young enough that you've played on them?
Oh, yeah.
I've done
birthday parties at the McDonald's play place.
Yeah.
I've been to one. I mean,
where I learned how to party, man.
I honestly remember my first reaction to a McDonald's play place as a kid was, this place is disgusting.
It smells
like a sneeze.
I have one compound word to say about it, and it's monkeypox. I am like, you know, as a gay man, and I know it is not yet affecting the young straight babies of the world. Gay baby was riddled. We're coming out of a pandemic, hopefully, when we think, oh, a 100-year event. We've been shown monkeypox is right on the heels of this. The diseases are about to start taking over too. The crickets are taking over Texas. Yeah, yes. The viruses are coming. Like these communal, unwashed like places. I mean, if gays have to consider stop having group sex in party places in clubs, I think we need to maybe consider shutting down.
Yeah, we can't have play places.
Unwashed play. Yeah, no play places
indoor.
For
and apparently they were like totally unregulated. First of all, there were so many of them that in 1991, McDonald's was the nation's largest private playground operator, like with 3,000 locations. And they were just unregulated. There were a lot of like germ issues like Miles was talking about that McDonald's would never really like let get out. There was one woman who like started a campaign. I think she was a physician. She started a campaign to like try and get people to understand the risks of having your children play there, and they just banned her from McDonald's.
Right, because like, she was basically at like a place being like, yo, there's shit all over the balls.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. So
was she the person taking samples? I was reading about
exactly.
That.
She took samples. And
a little creepy. I will say, like, she keeps stealing the balls. We got to kick her out of here, you know? Yeah,
I mean, honestly, you could just wear a glove and be like, with one Q-tip, be like, here's one ball. I ain't taking that. Put that in a Petri dish and watch the cells go.
But something we talk about a lot on this show is this idea that, like, you know, because corporations have the same rights as individual human beings in America, but the big difference is they're allowed to like murder and kill with impunity. There's a book called The Corporation from like the early aughts, but it talks about it just like does a legal, straightforward legal analysis like, okay, so corporations have all the rights of an individual, like financially and legally. Let's just look at them as if they were individuals. And the things they do are like they make decisions that kill people based on whether it's profitable or not. Like it, just openly, they're like, well, that it's not worth it for us because the resulting claim would cost us less than like making the changes that would have saved that person's life. McDonald's was doing that shit with play places. Like in 1988, there was a girl who got injured pretty badly. Her family sued. And like over the course of the trial, they obtained insurance records illustrating more than 1,500 claims over McDonald's playground injuries that they just were like, yeah, but like it's kind of funny to read. It's like children who break bones when they run into fry trees or bump their heads on the Rocky hamburger ride and break teeth falling off of apple pie stools. Those were things that they were just like, yeah, but it would cost way too much to fix those problems, or like hire somebody, like add a job that is just like constantly looking at that. And they were right, because the jury found in favor of the victim, but only awarded the family $700,000, which is like a rounding error for McDonald's. It's nothing.
Yeah, that's like trying to get Kim Kardashian and Sly Stallone to use less water in Malibu with a fine. Like I was reading, like they're like they it was just released that they're some of the biggest water users in the area.
Yeah,
and
right.
It's like one, of course they are, but it's like, what are you gonna do? Fine them? You're gonna fine billionaires a couple of bucks? You know, it doesn't. You know, I'm just saying we're gonna do what the abolitionists do. We're gonna kill them.
Right. Burn their houses down.
Yeah. I got banged up on the playground when I was younger. My cousin pushed me off of the climbing bars and I had to go to the hospital. I got stitches and all that stuff. You know, playgrounds are, you know, that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned of the fecal matter all over the balls. Like I feel like that is something that can be dealt with. And if not, get rid of the balls, you know.
Right.
Like I'm not so worried about the fry trees and the kid breaking their arm. That's childhood stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But like I don't know, any sort of weird cover up is never good. But
right.
You know,
that's the issue. Is like when you're operating it there, people are doing it, and you're actively covering up like how many children are being hurt. When your mascot is like a friendly party clown who like helps sick children, it's kind of weird.
It's like when they, you know, like every once in a while they'll like dig up the ground around like an old like orphanage and there's just like tons of unmarked graves,
yeah.
You know. And it's like, if they start doing that with McDonald's, I'll start to be very concerned about past practices. But
yes. Yeah. But anyways, all right. So that's one story that our writer JM wrote for us. I think the ultimate conclusion is like, it's probably not bad that these are going out. It's kind of crazy that these actually are still in existence.
I'm glad even in like the late 80s, my child brain was like, this place is gross. I remember my mom be like, you don't want to go in there? I'm like, nah, man, just look, smell like shit, man. It's
like
dirty as fuck.
Like, that's the thing with outdoor playgrounds. Like, even though they don't get wiped down, like, they have rainstorms that come through. And, like, you know, it's the same smell that you smell, like, at a... As a parent, Chuck E. Cheese has stepped up their game. They no longer smell like vague.
Like a diaper?
Like diapers and
beer.
Band-Aids like they used to. They started like actually cleaning those places. But there is like a very specific smell that I have a sense memory of.
Yeah.
This podcast is just me describing smells.
Well, it's wild too, like to your point when like that woman who was doing the analysis, like you could get a staph infection or MRSA from playing with these balls. Are you into that? I'm like, you're better off drinking the water from Woodstock 99 at that point. Like,
yeah. If I'm going to get a staph infection or MRSA from some balls, I want to have a good time. Okay.
I better be at a McDonald's in Europe if that's happening.
Royale with cheese on my motherfucking face.
All right. Let's talk about. So, our writer JM put forward a conspiracy theory that I believe it. I believe this. This is, I think he's fully right about this. So he's saying we once again had a like headline making story when HBO debuted House of the Dragon and it crashed HBO Max. And like there were headlines everywhere. HBO Max crashes for thousands in minutes after House of Dragon premieres. House of the Dragon premieres crashing HBO Max. House of Dragon, like just it got a lot of attention. So first of all, the problem only seemed to impact about 3,000 people. So it's kind of and mostly on Amazon devices. But it also, I don't know, it really seems like it happens a lot and like in regular intervals whenever a streaming service has a lot riding on a debut, like suddenly it will crash. It's the sort of thing that like people who are experts on this are like, no, they should be able to like avoid this easily. Like,
right.
You know, you're going to have increased traffic. So you like prepare for that and you have like extra servers ready to handle it. You know, some people are pointing out there are like when you stream a show, it's not like HBO Max fires up a machine and you get to watch the thing. It's like there are multiple third-party content delivery networks, authentication systems, internet service providers, like all these different things that it has to go through. But like they have it down. There's enough money riding on this that it shouldn't ever crash unless they want it to. And so JM's theory is that they're just doing this every time they want to generate a headline, they want to make a show seem popular, because we don't have like Nielsen ratings anymore that anybody like really pays attention to or trusts. And so they crash their network for like only a handful of people, but enough people to make it a headline, to get it like trending on social media. And then that is the equivalent of like a bar or like a restaurant, like making like getting a line forming at the outside. So it seems like it's extra popular, basically.
We saw it with Stranger Things. We saw it with Squid Game. Like that's, it's like part of the vocabulary is like, oh, was it so good? It literally broke the internet.
Right. Yeah. And that's what they want.
Like, yeah, again, because it's like, it's not, everyone's not watching it at once. Yeah. I mean, I don't tend to believe in conspiracy theories, but I also tend to believe corporations will do anything nefarious for any sort of reason. And they're allowed to, thanks to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, I don't know. It was like the first episode of Game of Thrones. It was, you know, it's going to take me several watches to not fall asleep, and then I will watch it all 500 episodes in like a weekend, you know,
like that's right when you finally are like, oh, I thought that dude's name was something else. They all got terrible wigs on though, so it's hard to keep track of it.
I'll tell you, they know how to start a series really well. Bringing it all together at the end, we haven't yet.
Yeah, we haven't seen them really nail that one. Right? Yeah. Is this like a limited series? Because I did watch it.
No, they just got renewed for season two.
They need to just be like, we're doing until the end of this book, and like that's it, and like that's what you're getting. I mean, I obviously that doesn't work.
So I'm dragging my feet.
The only way
capitalism,
the only way all of this ends is when George R. R. Martin dies,
right?
And well, apparently,
and even then, it'll kick off debates. I'm like, this is how George would have wanted. Mm-hmm. No, mm-hmm. George would have done. Like, okay, I don't give a shit, y'all. Y'all just put people of color in there, like as a make good, like for this latest one. So. Fine. But it's wild to look at this in the context of like the Lord of the Rings versus Game of Thrones thing, because Variety actually, this is a headline of Variety. Rings of Power and House of the Dragon competition is, quote, manufactured by the media for headlines, producer says. Mm-hmm. Which I think it makes sense. Like there's constant being like, who's going to do this? Are they going to best them? Like we've seen so many write ups like this. Like this goes part and parcel with like, House of Dragon is so fucking lit, the shit crashed. And you can tell because I think a lot, for whatever reason, the media is trying to be like, who's going to win between the two of them has also been this other like narrative that's been bubbling up. Because I think for like six or something episodes, they'll actually be happening at the same time. So they're like, who's going to like which one better? Blah, blah, blah. And the producers are like, this feels very sensational. We don't look at our show as being anything like Game of Thrones at all. So,
yeah, they're like, wrong, though.
Huge dragon. Yeah.
Right. That is an incorrect assumption that if that's true, they are misunderstanding their audience. If they really were like, who cares if we're putting it out at the same time as Game of Thrones? They're totally different and appealing to like that. That is incorrect the average TV viewer is viewing those as similar ish things. And like you're competing with each other.
Yeah. If you like violence and bad wigs, pick your poison.
Yeah.
I'll choose the one I'm going to watch based on which one has more incest.
Yeah. And I think we know the answer.
Then you're Game of Thrones, baby. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those Targaryens, they don't look like that because they're looking outside the family. Yeah. I'll tell you that.
All the color follicles in your hair don't die unless you're fucking your sister.
For centuries. But this is what one of the producers said, quote, if you were to your point, Jack, this is how they're looking at it. And I don't know if this is a sign that the Lord of the Rings people are maybe low-key shooked, but they say, quote, if you were an archaeologist and a gardener, it might look similar, but they couldn't possibly be more different. I think that's sort of how we feel about the two shows. The competition is the pressure we put on ourselves and a competition we have with ourselves to see what we can put out into the world. Hopefully, our series will bring people together as a sort of cultural conversation. And anyone else working on storytelling, we wish them well.
I mean, they must be very confident, but they definitely fucked up by letting this Game of Thrones series get out before theirs. Like, I definitely would be way more excited and interested in watching the Lord of the Rings one if it was coming out like during a Game of Thrones drought, like we were just coming off of with like, you know, years and years. Like they should have gotten this shit out. They should have like surprise dropped it like a Beyonce album a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
gotten
yeah.
people
like
on
that
board.
Firefest documentary. They're like, yeah. Oh, we got a Firefest documentary too. And we're like, what the fuck?
Okay. It'll be interesting to see if they pretend that that all of Amazon has crashed because of how popular this this series is.
Oh man, their Prime Video, that's players absolute trash.
Or what if it crashes? They make it crash because no one's watching it. Oh god, it went. Oh, it's down. It's because it's down. The system's
down.
Somebody
who watched it crashed. But just so you know,
they tried too hard. They tried too hard.
Yeah. The numbers were like, I think, what was it you said? 7 billion?
They're
like,
yeah.
That's not even the Earth's population. Oh,
aliens are watching it. Everyone knows. People on Mars watching it.
But I do, because this isn't really being reported anywhere. Nobody's like, I'm sure somebody's like started looking into it. But I'm looking forward to the investigation into whether this is being done on purpose. Because I think it almost definitely is.
Well,
I think
absolutely. I mean, it's like anything, any self-serving organization, if there's a metric you can fuck around with for your own benefit, you're going to. It's like me when I used to write my papers in 12.5 point font.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, and I'll put that shit in Courier. Guess what? Because it's eating up the page space. Uh-huh. Fuck out of here. And I think for them, because like you're saying, there's a lack of sort of reliable streaming things, it's so easy to now create all this other sensational stuff to try and indicate like, yeah, man, this shit crashed, bro.
Right.
But only for the ops over there, if you got a Roku or like a Fire Stick or whatever.
I love how Netflix is just like, oh, we long for a show that people will talk about again. Like, right. They're not even in the conversation anymore. Yeah.
Stranger Things is come and gone.
Oh, yeah, right. Stranger Things. I didn't watch. Never mind. We won't get into that. But anyway, I don't like to watch scary things by myself because I'm a child. Oh. Yeah.
Well, Casey, truly a pleasure having you back. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You can find me on, you might have heard of it, the internet. Casey Lye, my last name is spelled L-E-Y. Instagram, K-C-W-L-E. Oh, no, Twitter, K-C-W-L-E-Y. I have to have different ones, unfortunately. Casey Lye on Instagram. And I also have a podcast, which I love. No offense to your podcast. Also love this one. It's not a competition, although every time that we air at the same time, ours crashes. I don't know why.
I don't know anything about that. Huh?
It's called The Gay Power Half Hour. I do it with
It's really good. People need to go check it out.
Yes, thank you. Agreed. Find that with my drag queen, Tony Soto. We're very fun. And it's only a half hour. So easy.
And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
You know, do you follow the Saint Hoax account on Instagram? They're great. Uh-huh. But we find the story of the Finnish prime minister getting in trouble for partying a little bit too hard, for just like dancing at a party. She's just like total babe. She's 36 years old. And there just was a good meme of, you know who the cock destroyers are? Of course, no. They're these British, just like unabashed, for lack of a better term, whores. And they put it out very, yeah, they're great.
We were just talking about Cock Commander yesterday. So I was trying to get my cock names right. I was like, wait, do I know Cock? I know Cock Commander.
They're just these two giant breasted blonde women who just, they got famous for posting just really just graphic conversation, just like they would like, you know, hold the camera and like, you know, do a video like of their face, and they'd just be like, I love, you know, anyway, you can get the point. Yeah. But it was them going crazy, and it was like, oh, conservatives in Finland going crazy over the Finnish prime minister partying. But what I loved was that women in Finland started, they were, you know, everyone was furious about this. Everyone was like, you know, because the other side was like, she's on drugs, she's in charge of Finland, it's so important. And yeah. So she took a drug test and she passed a drug test. She was like, whatever. I'm just 36 years old having a good time. I'm sorry that these private videos at a party that, you know, got out. But women across the country have been posting themselves just like partying and dancing and tagging the Finnish prime minister. And I just love the solidarity of that, because, you know, she's just trying. If every time like Trump dances, people go, you know, on that side, go wild for him. Look at how cool. We love our leader. And she was just like having a good time. People don't like young women. How about that?
Yeah. There you go. Turns out we live in a...
But St. Hoax is a great thing to follow. Follow them. Those memes are hilarious.
Miles, where can people find you with the tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, man, you should find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. If you like basketball, check us out. Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. That's the basketball podcast we drop every Thursday. And if you like 90 Day Fiance and you like weed like me, then check out my other podcast, 420 Day Fiance, with Sophia Alexandra. Let's see some tweets that I like. One was just kind of cool. This is just from Erica, white trash socialist, tweeted. She's like clearly like has a hard hat on, looking dirty, and she posted a picture of herself with a peace sign. Said it's hilarious how people who have never worn a hard hat or worked a single day in a trade keep speaking for us. LMAO. I have no student debt and I'm an electrician, and I think all student debt should be canceled and college should be free. Cope harder, which I've seen a few posts like that. People are like the fuck, man. Education should be free. And one more is Tyler at Tyler 0202 0202 tweeted me, this Diet Coke is so Lana Del Rey vinyl. My dad, have you applied to any jobs yet?
Education can't be free because then you get an educated proletariat, and that's dynamite, according to Ronald Reagan's education advisor.
Yeah.
I think he meant the bad dynamite.
And also, what you going to do if we don't have enough destitute poor kids to put in the meat grinder of our military imperialism campaigns? What the fuck?
Yeah.
That's what a few other people have said out loud.
Yeah.
Give you a classic Gore Vidal joke. He once said there was a fire at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. Unfortunately, they lost both books. And he hadn't finished coloring in the second one yet.
Oh, great tag.
Anyway.
All right, some tweets I've been enjoying. Alex Schmidt at Alex Schmitty said nothing but respect for my PPP loan program. And it was a old Nancy comic strip where she goes, visit our loan department. She says, I'd like to borrow $2. And the banker says, what for? She says, the circus is in town. And he says, it is. And then the final panel is just the banker and Nancy having ice cream cones at the circus. And that made me like a nice little palate cleanser for the news cycle. And then Sophie Virchbau tweeted, my friend just accurately described the Myers-Briggs test as astrology for coworkers. I think that's
astrology for coworkers. Okay.
I like that.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Oh, you know what? I think they might enjoy this fantastic remix of Beyonce's Break My Soul, but mashed up with Sade's Sweetest Taboo. Yes, it's fucking, this shit goes off. This is called Break My Soul, but it's the Taboo, the number two, Taboo 2 remix. You're not going to find this on fucking anywhere because it's a mashup. And so you're going to have to go to Bandcamp. So this is DJ Yamsha, Y-A-M-S-H-A, DJ Yamsha's Bandcamp page, and you can get the Break My Soul remixes, but this one's fucking great for especially people of a certain age. You're like, Beyonce, Sade, fine, say less, let's go.
Yeah. All right, well, go check that shit out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. But we're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350+ live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.